The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We have a lot to get to. We always do on Friday's program. There's a lot going on at thetrumpet.com, just as there was yesterday. And we're getting lots of positive feedback in response to the facelift that the website received as of Monday morning. Coming up in the next segment, we'll be going through quite a lot of that feedback. And as I say, we have quite a bit of it. And most of it's very positive, very enthusiastic. You won't want to miss the second segment when we get into that. And then after that, if we have time, I'd like to squeeze in some comments the American ambassador to the United Nations made yesterday, actually apologizing for the Obama administration. Pretty amazing stuff there at the United Nations, really exposing a stark difference between the way these two administrations think. There's obviously some similarities, as we'll see here in just a second, with the way that the U.S. government spends, no matter who's in office, no matter who controls Congress, but with respect to the worldview and with respect to being pro-American or anti-American. These two last administrations in Washington couldn't be more different, and that was on full display yesterday at the United Nations. Just want to draw your attention as well to Joel Hilliker's Trumpet Brief from yesterday, an insider's view of a changing America. He evidently sat in on a lecture given by Chris Wallace at Fox News, and was able to write about that and a few other things in the Trumpet Brief that went out just last night. We've got 19,000 people who have subscribed to the Trumpet Brief, and I was told just earlier this morning that nearly half of that number are considered high engagement subscribers, meaning that they click on our campaigns or open the emails and click on the links very consistently. So those are strong numbers, very unusual with respect to email campaigns that you see in the world today, to have nearly half of those who subscribe clicking on what we send to them regularly. So we certainly appreciate many of you, I know, who subscribe to that daily Trumpet Brief and who open it and who read it and who anxiously look forward to the next one to come out. Well, President Donald Trump leaves the swamp in Washington this weekend, headed for Asia, 12-day trip through East Asia. And there's a lot on the agenda for President Trump. But one item that won't get nearly enough coverage is the fact that he's essentially going to be pleading with Japan and China and others to keep financing America's debt, to extend the credit limit for America. Yesterday, the Republicans released their tax plan. Quite a lot of coverage in the United States on that. Some healthy cuts, to be sure, but there are, I mean, the cuts are not across the board, as was promised throughout the campaign. And really the reason for that, as I just said a moment ago, is because whether it's Democrats or Republicans who control Congress, Washington simply cannot control its out-of-control spending. It can't establish a balanced budget. It has to keep spending. And so they're going to look for ways to give some tax breaks to the middle class and maybe to help businesses or corporations. And I'm sure some of those cuts will be helpful and will come as a relief. But these are not across-the-board cuts. These are not big cuts for the rich and the wealthy. So many of these people that actually do control big business, small business, and the like. And so we're left to grovel at the feet of Asian nations, basically, to increase the credit limit, to increase our spending limit on the credit card. That's what it amounts to. We read this article the other day from Asia Times about how that China, Japan, these two together, they hold a combined $2.3 trillion in U.S. treasuries. Even little South Korea loans America about $100 billion. South Korea, they're one of our creditors. This article, again, I read some of this earlier this week, says as China's Xi Jinping digs in for another five-year term, well, it's more than that, as he digs in for the long haul, there's no sign that he's ever going to be leaving. He's grabbed more and more power over the past 5 years. And we've been right on top of that at thetrumpet.com. Jeremiah Jacques reported on it, and it was discussed last week at the Trumpet Hour. And we addressed it again earlier this week. We talked about it, in fact, in a program that we taped just yesterday to go to air next weekend. In any event, this article says here, this is from Asia Times, nor might he be very forgiving about tax changes. Speaking of President Xi, nor might he be very forgiving about tax changes that widen America's budget deficit and threaten the value of Beijing's $1.2 trillion of treasuries. Trump, after all, has on more than one occasion raised the specter of defaulting on debt to gain leverage in negotiations. We've been talking about the oncoming trade war. We've talked, in fact, in recent years about America's creditors using our massive debt as a weapon against us. I mean, they're holding us basically over the barrel of a gun, financially speaking, economically speaking. At Project Syndicate earlier this month, or rather this was early October, it says here South Korea and Japan are thought to hold about 80% of their international reserves in dollars. One can imagine that the financial behavior of these and other countries would change dramatically with adverse implications for the dollar's exchange rate and U.S. borrowing costs were America's close military alliances with its allies to fray. You see, I mean, our massive debt, the United States I'm speaking of, it's left America totally dependent on all of these foreign powers. And so while President Trump insists that we've got some leverage here and there, believe me, they're the ones with most of the leverage. What if, as my father brought out in an old Key of David program, I guess it's old, 2009, this was 8 years ago, when he talked about these nations that we owe so much money to, what if they decided to blackmail us, or what if they decided to collude with one another to bring the United States down? It doesn't seem that far-fetched now, not when there's talk regularly about a trade war. This is what my father had to say on that 2009 program, clip 3.
We have serious problems. We need to solve many problems. We have like a $12 trillion debt, and that's really not the real debt. It goes over $100 trillion if you look at the real debt. And you know that China, I believe it's, what, $1 trillion we borrowed from them this year? Just trillions of dollars we owe to to other nations and people that, like Japan, we owe them a lot of money as well. They were our enemy in World War II, and China has been our enemy just about ever since. ever since the communists took over, and we owe them all that money. Now, what if they decide to blackmail us and say, look, if you don't do what we want, we're going to take our money back, and your stock market is going to do what? Well, I'll tell you, it's a serious problem. And we can be blackmailed because of that lack of character by countries like that that really are themselves, in China's case anyhow, wanting to rule the world.
Lots and lots of bragging coming from the Trump administration these days about the so-called booming American economy, the stock market and other sectors, lower unemployment, that kind of thing. But what if... this has happened historically. This is not that unusual for nations to collude. This is not that unusual for nations to blackmail other nations. It's not unusual for the creditors to come calling for those debts. It's a serious problem, as he brings out there. He went on to talk about a lesson that Winston Churchill spoke of back in the day. This is clip 4.
Churchill said, "All history has proved the peril of being dependent upon a foreign state." Now, he was talking about for military help and that, but the same principle would apply. The same principle would apply to having a huge deficit like that. It's hazardous beyond words to describe.
Hazardous beyond words to describe, being totally dependent upon a foreign state. I mean, how could you deny the fact that the United States is totally dependent on China, on Japan, certainly when it comes to dollar diplomacy or when it comes to the runaway debt of the U.S. government? Well, as we've been saying over and again, the Bible gives this clear and sobering warning. Trade wars are coming. They've begun, in fact. We've written words to that effect. They're already here. They've started. There's a coming siege upon our nations, the United States and Britain. Economic warfare. You can read all about it at thetrumpet.com. Yesterday, as I mentioned, we taped this program about the rise of the strong men, plural. I mean, we often talk about the strong man to come out of Germany, but you look around this world and you see, as Joe Hilliker said last week on Trumpet Hour, you see this stunning reversal taking place right in front of us. It's no longer the spread of democratic free societies brought on by the spread of the British Empire or the awesome power and might of the American superpower. Now you're seeing those two in rapid decline. I mean, the sun has set on the British Empire, obviously. But the American superpower, I mean, everywhere you turn, its power is diminished. It's on the wane. And meanwhile, you have the rise of these strong men all over the world, these strong authoritarian leaders in Russia, in China, in Iran, in Turkey, in Venezuela. You have causes, as we've noted before. Richard Palmer just had a piece he put on his blog page about the calls for Japan to be a military power. I mean, we need more. That's what people are saying. That's what they're saying about Europe. Here are all these strong men, and now Europe's crying out for a strong man. Commentators are urging Japan to flex its military might, its muscle. Well, as we've been saying, this really stunning worldwide trend, it's all prophesied in your Bible. God talked about this thousands of years ago. This latter day fulfillment of the times of the Gentiles, this reverting back to a much darker period in world history, a period of strong nationalism and authoritarian dictatorships. Mr. Armstrong, when he talked about those 10 kings, you'll remember, he said they were to be 10 dictators coming out of the heart of Europe. But as we covered on the program we taped just yesterday, look at all the scriptures that talk about kings. Daniel 11 and verse 40, we talk about that all the time. A king of the south will push and push and push. Iran, of course, heads up radical Islam, the number one state sponsor of terror. And it's had its supreme leader now for a few decades. Its supreme Ayatollah, it's king, in other words. And a king is to emerge out of the heart of Europe, to come out of the heart of Germany. Two kings clashing. One king coming against another king like a whirlwind. All out war. And if you keep reading that passage in Daniel 11, it says, tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble this king of the north. And so he lashes out at the kings of the east, as they're called in Revelation 16. God calls them the kings of the east. So you've got the king of the north, you've got the king of the south, then you've got the king of the north troubled by the kings of the east. That's a lot of kings. Well, the beast power, because of these concerns, because of these troubling signs, the beast power lashes out at the kings of the east. That's that fifth angel in Revelation. And then the sixth angel pours out his vial. And these communist hordes, this Asian conglomerate, the kings of the east, counterattack. Elsewhere in Bible prophecy, this Asian alliance, it's referred to as Gog and Magog, and you can read more about that in Ezekiel 38. And as it happens in that Ezekiel 38 prophecy, it refers to the leader of this Asian superpower, this superpower alliance. This leader is referred to as the Prince of Russia. So here's a prince, and you have kings, and you have the kings of the east. And then there are those 10 dictatorships to emerge out of Europe. 10 kings, as it says in Revelation 17. 10 heads of state, 10 authoritarian leaders. And we've been talking a lot about the leaders emerging in Europe. Most recently, or at least fairly recently, you had the Austrian election. A 31-year-old anti-establishment candidate. I mean, these candidates are popping up all over the place now. The ones that are saying, we're going to drain the swamp, so to speak. We're against the establishment in Brussels. In the case of Austria, they've got now the world's youngest head of state. And he, like so many others, has grabbed hold of a lot of power. Why are so many Europeans, all of a sudden, seemingly, willing to embrace such unconventional leaders? I mean, here's a young leader that's shifted his party so far to the right. That's what he had to do to win the vote. And he got a third of it. It's Richard Palmer writes in the latest Trumpet magazine that his party, Sebastian Kurz, he's forming a coalition with the Freedom Party of Austria, which is a far-right party founded by ex-Nazis. So there you go. That's Austria. And of course, as we've noted through these past few weeks, Germany is watching intently. Germany's struggling to form a coalition. Germany, as I read this morning in the Times of London, they're unsure about the whereabouts of 30,000 migrants. 30,000. Failed asylum seekers. They're due for deportation, according to the Times, but Germany can't find them. And so the crisis continues. That seems to be the only area of the world where the strongman hasn't yet emerged. In other areas, particularly in Eastern Europe, and again, Richard Palmer's been all over this, you've got strong men emerging from the Czech Republic. The one who comes out of a political party established just 6 years ago. Just 6 years ago. Brand new party. Anti-establishment. A real outsider. He's coming on now to root out corruption. He's going to drain the swamp. And then you've got other strong men emerging as well. Hungary, Poland, Slovakia. Why do we see so many leaders rising in Eastern Europe and around the world with these kinds of autocratic leanings? Why are we seeing so many long-established political systems disintegrating before our eyes? Why are we seeing so many brand-new parties formed in just the last few years, all of a sudden winning majorities in votes, in elections? Well, as I say, there's one remaining strongman. He's referred to in Daniel 8. And you know what he's called in Daniel 8 and verse 23? He's called a king of fierce countenance. This is the fierce, overarching leader He's the one that's going to preside over those 10 dictators who, as Revelation 17 says, give their power to the beast for 1 hour. It's a short term. It's a short term reign. But what a powerful and destructive reign it will be. In that latest trumpet, I mentioned Richard Palmer's article, Wanted, a Leader for Europe. He says, given its economic migration and political crises, what Europe needs is leadership. What it has instead is a European Commission. That bureaucratic administration has repeatedly proved incapable of providing decisive direction. Europe's super bureaucracy is being overwhelmed by crises, and it's being rejected by citizens who are voting for nationalistic parties. In times like this, Europe's most powerful and prosperous nation is expected to step up. That would be Germany, the bloc's widely accepted de facto leader. Except Germany is now incapacitated. Its domestic leadership was critically injured in its September 24th federal election. This political paralysis, coming at a time when Germany's leadership is needed more than ever, will trigger some major changes in Europe. Well, he talks about just how difficult it's going to be for Ms. Merkel to form a coalition. I mean, it's going to take months. It's probably going to carry on into next year. Richard mentions, I think it was Belgium who set the record for something like 500 and whatever days it took to build a coalition. Is Germany in for that kind of grind to a halt? And who will take advantage of it? My father had another program. This is back in 2010. The End Time Antiochus, July 30th, 2010. Listen to what he said about this Daniel 8 man, clip 5.
Now, he's not going to come in by, let's say, a democratic process. He's going to come in and use flatteries and sort of tweak the democratic process, it says here, something like that, and perhaps take advantage of a weak coalition. But he's going to come in by flatteries.
All right, it says in Daniel 11 he comes in by flatteries, but right before that, if you noticed, my father said, perhaps take advantage of a weak coalition. He said that in 2010, and here we are 7 years on from it, and what a weak coalition there is. It's not even a coalition yet. Someone's going to take advantage of this, and it may well be Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg. A strong German leader is imminent. That's the title of one of our publications. Again, written by my father. He says, this soon coming ruler could literally be called a king. Even if he's not, the Bible gives him that label. When the Bible talks about a king, in most cases, it's saying that this is not a democratic government. Even if he doesn't have that title, he's going to lead like a king. I mean, that's what we're seeing, not just coming out of Germany. That's what we're seeing all around the world. Kings of the East, King of the North, King of the South, the Ten Kings, a king of fierce countenance. When the Bible talks about a king, it's saying that this is not going to be a democratic government. That's what we see sweeping the earth right now. It's sweeping right across the earth. What a dramatic transformation this is. What a difference. This century, as short as it's been, what a difference it is from just the last century or the century before last. All of these kings. And you know what it says at the end of Daniel 2? You know about the Daniel 2 image. It says, and in the days of these kings, plural. Now that's speaking more specifically about the 10 kings in Europe. But you could certainly look at it more broadly as well. All of these kings, the king of the south in the Middle East, the king of the north in Germany, the 10 kings that give their power to that king, that beast, the kings of the east, the king of fierce countenance, God says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I can remember, well, I've read so many of the articles and booklets that Herbert Armstrong wrote, where he would talk about this kingdom replacing the kingdoms of this world. And he said, look, there's no doubting what a kingdom is like when you look at this world today. A kingdom headed up by a king, a strong authoritarian ruler. And so when we talk about God's kingdom, what do these scriptures mean? What are they describing? And why should we view this as something that's just kind of, well, it takes place in your heart, or maybe the kingdom is the church. The kingdom is a kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom ruled by a king. In this case, in the case of God's kingdom, a righteous king ruling with the law of love, God's law of love. An authoritarian, to be sure, but just the kind of righteous rule that this world needs for lasting peace and prosperity. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to join the growing chorus of contributors, or at least those contributing feedback to the Trumpet website, to the Trumpet Brief, or to this program, or anything produced by God's Work, you can send comments or feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back with a lot of that feedback that we've received in response to the new website.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Quite a lot of feedback that's come in over the past 4 or 5 days. We updated our website, new and improved trumpet.com, thetrumpet.com, on Monday morning. And here's what some of you had to say. This one here says, my initial thought is that it looks busier than the old site. Right away, I noticed that things that I once was able to see together are not together. So here's one that's maybe not as enthusiastic about it. Like the Trumpet Daily with the Trumpet Hour. I liked being able to read both headlines together. It looks good, though. It looks full and professional and busy. The one thing that I think should be kept in mind is to keep it organized and to avoid doubling up on info unless there is a reason to do it. Thanks to all of those who worked so hard on this. We do have a little bit of double up here and there, particularly with the blog items. Some of those blog items are just smaller pieces that don't really appear elsewhere, but other ones by some of those blog writers that are more substantial features may receive some additional attention on the webpage as well. In any event, it's just to basically those blog pages are to collect everything from that specific writer in one page. So that's the reasoning behind that. This one here says, the site looks truly amazing. It looks wonderful, like a digital trumpet magazine, but more like a trumpet library because it's all there in one spot. It says, please tell all the IT staff, developers, artists, and many other contributors of labor that I said thank you. And I might just interject here. Steve Herkus did a lot of the design on the new website. Patrick Hogan is the one that sort of makes it operational. I think he's had probably a person or two helping him along those lines. And then, of course, some of the other decision makers that have chimed in, like Joel Hilliker and Brad McDonald here at Edstone, Richard Palmer. A lot of us have had ideas and thoughts. David Vigil also has chimed in on Google searches and things of that nature, things that we could do to just optimize everything a little bit better. So I know I'm probably forgetting a few people, but I know a lot of people have put some serious time into this, and they are to be congratulated, as this viewer or website visitor brings out. He says here, this is a very attractive feel, and I will pray it attracts more use and visibility. For sure, every one of us should be praying that this, that the Trumpet Magazine, that the programs, we're going on a new television station here in the UK and European region just this weekend. And of course, we want God, most of all, to really bless all that this work, his work, is producing, and to bring more people, more eyeballs to these truths that we're out there disseminating. He says, I regularly start my morning here to get the first reads of the day in. Without the invaluable resource, I know I would simply be in the dark and would not have enough time in the day to filter through the worldwide news dump that is out there. You all have definitely increased productions and have brought great renown to God's magnificent work through these accomplishments. Another one here says, loads a little slow, but looks good. That was from Monday. And I'm surprised, actually, given that trumpet brief went out Monday, the very first day that the new website went up, that we didn't get more comments on how slow it moved. But over the course of the week, I know Patrick and others have been working to optimize everything. And if you've visited it recently, in the last day or two, I think you'll hopefully have noticed that it's much faster, similar to the old one. That's the goal. Another one here, it says, sweet, really good job, well done, keep up the good work. It is way better now, runs a lot smoother. Thank you all for the good that you do. The site was worth the wait and work put into it. I'll thank you all for the readers. So there's someone thanking themselves on behalf of everyone else who visits the site as well. That's great. This one here says, the new site is simply amazing. The information is easier to access and more eye-catching than ever. Very impactful, clean, brilliant design. I love it. Another one here, it says, I love the new website. So much more appealing and inviting. Tons of images to invite the reader in. Intriguing headlines to cause the reader to click and read. I love it. I love it. This one here says, the new updated homepage for thetrumpet.com is better because it's clearer and more all-inclusive. I mainly visit it by a laptop, although sometimes by my smartphone. Now that I've obtained a tablet, I'm likely to use that as well. Thanks for the improvement and keep up the good work. This one here says, great, layout was perfect, easy to browse and pick out articles. Keep up the great work. Another one, I love the new homepage. Very well done and easier to find everything. Keep up the great work. That seems to be the common phrase here. Keep up the great work. Another one here says, when you last updated the site, I said that the presentation was boring and there was a lot of empty space. I think the latest update is brilliant. The layout is very interesting to look at, and with far more information on the homepage than before. Less searching is required. I really like the videos section, where you can scroll down and see what videos are available. In the blog section, it's nice to have some idea of what the writers look like. Would it be possible to see larger color photos of them in their articles? This update is a vast improvement on the previous one. Thank you. Another one here says, the new Trumpet website is amazingly done. It was worth all the effort that was put into it. I know that I will be using it. to the max. Another one says, the new Trumpet website is fantastic. Three exclamation, you know what I mean. Easier to read, larger print, and very welcoming. I use my iPhone as my laptop, and I would have to rotate it to read the article better. I don't have to do that anymore for better reading. Thank you for your time and effort. Another one here says, I really appreciate the upgrade of the Trumpet.com website. I think this is the best version I have ever seen for both the desktop and mobile versions. I use Windows 10 and Android OS, and I have an interest in website development, so this upgrade really stood out for me. Again, I really appreciate it. Another one here says, our feedback, in a word, would be, wow, the presentation of the previous site was good, but the new presentation seems to handle all of the additional material better. My favorite part of the site is, while on my new iPhone 8 Plus, seeing Gerald Fleury as the first item on the menu. The new presentation, which highlights the Trumpet Daily and Trumpet Hour, is nice too. The gray background is much easier on the eyes, for sure. It says here, we use only Apple products to access the site, Macs and iOS devices. It says the only way to make the site better would be to improve the search function for PCOG.org as well. Might be nice to add an author's item to the menu. That comes from our family in Abu Dhabi, writing in regularly and regularly connecting to the website, the radio station, and so on. Another one here says, I do like the new Trumpet page. It has a lot of very interesting subjects to read about. I mostly use my iPad because of the portability and can easily expand the fonts to make the reading easier. Another one here coming from Connecticut, and she says, I just finished browsing through the new homepage of thetrumpet.com using my iPhone. It's very detailed, clearly organized, and the pictures captured my attention toward the article. A big thank you to all who worked on it. Another one here coming from Suva, Fiji, and this one says, congratulations to all involved. The new website is user friendly as it can get. I especially want to keep up with the blogs, and it says I use a desktop PC usually to get on the page. Another one here says the new homepage is so user friendly, filled with articles that relate to every topic posted. I really enjoy how every article has links to other articles about that subject so that the reader receives a full education on the topic. I use several devices to access the homepage daily: Kindle, Android phone, laptop. We truly are living in a different world today than a few decades ago, that's for sure. A lot of people here, you can see, use multiple devices to get onto the website. But it says here the site is easily accessed from all of them. The new homepage is beautifully designed and, in my opinion, better organized and laid out than any other website on the internet. True riches available to the largest audience possible. Many thanks to all of you for diligent efforts in positively trumpeting our Father's work. So, as I say, quite a few emails coming in response to the new website. It's still a work in progress. I'm sure they're going to be tweaking things from here on out. And if you have comments or suggestions to help make it better, of course, we're always happy to hear those. And I think especially happy to hear about just the positive feedback this week. Sometimes when you ask for feedback, you kind of brace yourself thinking that here comes the negative criticism. But there's been a little bit of that, and there's been a lot of encouragement. So we certainly need and appreciate both, however. Some other responses here to Trumpet briefs and such that have gone out in recent days. This one following the Islamic State distraction. We had a program on that last Friday, and then I sent out some of the material on a Trumpet brief later that evening. And he writes here, I'm very disappointed in the professional preachers who still announce going to heaven. These people know this isn't true. Tell me why they do deceive so many. And then he says, I'm so glad that I've found you. Another one here responding to Richard Palmer's trumpet brief from the other day, the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And she writes from Denver, Colorado, saying, thank you for emphasizing that events that happen in the world have to be considered in the context of the time they happened. Not many people are really good at doing this. And it makes so much difference to one's understanding of what was really happening when these events were taking place. Another one here says, very informative, trumpet brief today. The paragraph about prophecy not being a popular way to forecast news really stood out to me. If there was no such thing as a spirit being, as many people believe, then we could all safely predict that the Catholic Church would dwindle down in influence and eventually become obsolete. But that church's longevity through history and lack of change is evidence of a real spirit world. This one here comes in response to how to heal the Jerusalem syndrome from Brad McDonald just the other day, I think, Wednesday? It says here, thanks for another good update. I watched the latest attack on the New York, on TV while it was still very new in the news cycle. They certainly don't explain things like the writers for thetrumpet.com. So thank you and keep up the good work. Some general feedback here as well, saying this one here from Texas says, earlier today I read Mr. Leap's article titled Millennials Are Becoming Witches, and it was really good. Currently, I'm taking advantage of a very long wait time here for a pre-employment physical by looking through the New Trumpet website and to write to you. While waiting, I'm searching topics from Germany and the Holy Roman Empire booklet and using the awesome trend section. That also is a new feature. It didn't just start Monday, but it's a relatively new feature at thetrumpet.com. Very helpful, very informative. My wife, in fact, just the other day was telling me just how impactful that particular page on the trumpet is, with all of these items, just this short explanation basically on why we follow the news events or the regions or the developments that we do at thetrumpet.com. It's all, of course, based on Bible prophecy. If you haven't visited the trends page at thetrumpet.com, make sure that you check that out. Carrying on from this individual here, sitting in the waiting room and perusing the trumpet, he says, in your father's article, Europe has found her deadly Christian roots. He writes of the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus and how Titus believed he was an instrument of destruction for God because of the wickedness of the Jews. In the article, your father asked the question, has evil reached this height in America, Britain, and the Jewish nation today? Is God concerned about our wickedness? And then he writes here, as I'm reading this, I look up at the TV in the waiting room, tuned into the morning news, and at a very juvenile and frankly wicked spectacle of celebration to physical and spiritual drunkenness, and to a holiday once rejected by most of our own forefathers, just as Mr. Leap pointed out in the article. The righteous God of heaven has continued to bless his great work, and we truly need to support it and to use it to the fullest extent in our lives. He says later on, congratulations to all who work very hard to get this wonderful instrument of God's truth to the world, and thank you for all your dedication. Another one here coming from Sarasota, Florida. It says, I absolutely love your magazines and emails. They are extremely accurate and coincide with the Bible, and I tell everyone about them. Is this the way, the truth, and the life? Sorry, it is the way. Sorry, it's not a question. It is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for publishing real news. May God always bless you for sharing his truths. You are the best. That one from Florida. And then this last one here It says, I've been with you for a long time, first in the 1960s with Garner Ted Armstrong when he was doing the broadcast, then after with his father, Herbert W. Armstrong. I found it strange and confusing after he died, so I didn't renew my subscription for The Plain Truth. And then further on in his email, he writes, to me, you hold to the gold standard for truth in the news, and I can always count on you for accuracy and for deep, deep insight, not available anywhere else. And then he writes here, I would like to request a visit from one of your representatives to discuss matters of great importance. So that we sent or forwarded to the visit request department at the Philadelphia Church of God. Some really, really encouraging and inspiring feedback. We certainly appreciate all the feedback, all the comments that many of you have made, and encourage you to continue doing so. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll get into that exchange, not an exchange, but actually a speech that the American ambassador to the UN made yesterday in New York. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
We've talked a lot about anniversaries this past week. Earlier in the week, we referred to the Russian Revolution. Quite a few articles in the press about communism turning 100 years old. This one here from Reason.com, just to set up these clips that I'll conclude today's program with. But this author says, this year marks the 100th anniversary of one of the worst mistakes ever made, the communist revolution in Russia. It says communist regimes went on to kill about 100 million people. I mean, we went through that with another article, I think, at National Review on Wednesday's show, or maybe Tuesday, I forget. In any event, communist regimes went on to kill about 100 million people. Most died in famines after socialist tyrants forced people to practice inefficient collective farming. Millions of others were executed in political purges. Yet, listen to this, yet when the Russian Revolution happened, people both inside and outside Russia were excited. Crowds cheered Lenin. No longer would nobles rule. No longer would capitalists exploit workers. Now the people would prosper together. Well, that was the thinking. That was the thinking further on in this piece. It says, but you can't have government plan every aspect of people's lives and expect things to go well. Instead, you get bureaucratic planning commissions and secret police. That won't stop some Americans from celebrating communism's anniversary. A day of anti-Trump protests is scheduled for November 4th, and I'm sure some protesters will wave a hammer and sickle flags, or will wave hammer and sickle flags. Some will wear Che Guevara shirts. A few commentators will call the protesters idealistic but impractical. They shouldn't. We should call them supporters of mass murder. Call it what it is. Tell the world what they've done to their people. Expose them for who and what they are. Don't cover it up. don't make like they're actually righteous rulers when their people suffer. That's what we saw happening in the last few years of President Obama's term, where he was reaching out to these authoritarian tyrants, where he was making nice with the Castro regime in Cuba, for example. Yesterday, the United Nations, they voted on a resolution condemning America. Condemning America, America's embargo, its economic embargo against Cuba. They propose this resolution every year. We've got to condemn the United States for its economic embargo against Cuba because, well, Cuba's, they've got righteous rule. And there's no reason why the United States should pick on Cuba. There's no reason why it should pick on the Castro regime. So they put forward this resolution every year condemning the United States for its economic embargo against Cuba. And every year, for something like 25 years, the United States votes strongly against the resolution. Every year it was happening. Every year, every single year, until last year at this time. That was when the Obama administration abstained from the vote and said that it recognized that the future of Cuba lies in the hands of the Cuban people. I mean, by abstaining, we're really supporting the Cuban people. That's how it was framed last year. Well, this year, here comes the resolution again, only this time there's a new administration in the White House, and there's a new American ambassador to the United Nations by the name of Nikki Haley. And here's what she had to say yesterday at the UN, clip one.
1 year ago, the United States abstained when voting on the same resolution. The reason given was that the continuation of the embargo was not isolating Cuba, but was in fact isolating the United States. It is true that we had been left nearly alone in opposition to this annual resolution. No doubt, there will be some here who do not understand how we can take such opposite positions, separated by just 12 months. They will wonder how we could passively accept this resolution last year and energetically oppose it this year. To those who are confused as to where the United States stands, let me be clear. As is their right under our Constitution, the American people have spoken. They have chosen a new president, and he has chosen a new ambassador to the United Nations. As long as the Cuban people continue to be deprived of their human rights and fundamental freedoms, as long as the proceeds from trade with Cuba go to prop up the dictatorial regime responsible for denying those rights, the United States does not fear isolation in this chamber or anywhere else.
That's UN ambassador or American ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, yesterday calling out Cuba and its dictatorship, the dictatorial regime that's denying the Cuban people of basic human rights. The UN, you see, they should be passing a resolution condemning the authoritarian regime that's killing the people of Cuba. That's causing the people of Cuba to suffer. And yet, just like that article I just read to you, I mean, we go on apologizing. There's those that are going to say, look, they're a little naive, but really, communism is something that we should celebrate it. We shouldn't celebrate it. We should call the supporters of this kind of dictatorial regime, or these kinds. They're oftentimes guilty of mass murder. That's been the history. 100 years. One final clip from Ms. Haley yesterday at the UN, clip two.
As we speak here today, your government is busy choosing the successor to the Castro dictatorship. It is attempting to fool you into believing you have a voice by holding local and regional so-called elections. But the process you are engaged in is not freedom. The results were determined before the first vote was cast. When the United States abstained on this resolution last year, its decision was explained by saying, quote, "We recognize that the future of the island lies in the hands of the Cuban people." There is a casual cruelty to that remark, for which I am profoundly sorry. Regrettably, as of today, the future of Cuba is not in your hands. It remains in the hands of your dictators. The United States opposes this resolution today in continued solidarity with the Cuban people and in the hope that they will one day be free to choose their own destiny.
Some good stuff there from UN Ambassador Nikki Haley yesterday, calling out the Cuban dictators and the Obama administration for its casual cruelty in that remark from last year, saying that they were really just supporting the Cuban people. She spent half of her address yesterday actually addressing the Cuban people and saying that for all the promises that your leadership makes, the reality is you have no say, and we hope that one day you'll be free to choose your own destiny. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget, if you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for all the feedback. We'll see you next week.